My name is JB. I want to welcome you to this time of prayer and praise. This is the time in the service where we just pause and take a breath, and we take our worries, our praises, our prayers, and we just shape them into petitions to the Lord. And I can't help but think that, you know, we talk about miracle can happen now because the Spirit of the Lord is here. And the Spirit of the Lord is here because you brought him with you, because he lives inside of you. Take a look to your right. Take a look to your left. Look at the people around you. This group of people right here, you guys are world changers. You guys carry the Spirit of the Lord inside of you. And just a testament to that, last week we prayed for Cletus. Cletus was on basically life support in ICU. And within 24 hours, he was sitting up in a chair. And the doctors are just amazed, right? And he's not out of the woods. He still has some decisions to make. And he's decided to not have another surgery because, frankly, he's just tired of surgeries. But he's still standing on a promise that's deep inside of him. He's standing on the promise that the scripture says all of his promises are yes and amen. And I want to stand with him. And as a body, we want to stand with him. If he can come out of ICU and off of a breathing machine and sit in a chair, why can't the valve just be whole? There's just a lot of heavy stuff in the world, right? There's a lot of heavy stuff that we walk through. And it doesn't make sense sometimes. But then the scripture is just simple and it says all of your promises are yes and amen. It doesn't make it real complicated. We don't understand why there's mass shooting in New Zealand and several people lose their lives. But can we just stand with people? Can we stand with the love of Jesus Christ? Can we stand with the fact that the Holy Spirit will just continue to move in and through us and in and through people around that situation and touch the hearts and lives of those people? I had somebody approach me this morning that a father-in-law or father is having a lung issue and that it's just not very strong. Had a transplant on the one side, and now the other side that was strong is no longer strong. I believe it can just be made whole just like that because of what we carry inside of us. It's not us, but it's what we carry inside of us, right? And so we want to lift a few things, those things up in prayer. And as I was thinking about this song, Your Kingdom Come, Your Will Be Done, here as it is in heaven. And then I had you look to your right and I had you look to your left. And if you all had a mirror, I'd have you look in the mirror. Because it's easy to look at the people beside us and say, man, they carry something, but you carry it too. And so I want to pray for these situations, and I also want to pray for you as individuals and us as a body. So if you'd bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we stand on your promises being yes and amen. We believe for a miracle in Cletus's heart valve, God, that it would just be made whole, that it would function the way it is supposed to function, that it would just be new, God. We believe that you can strengthen lungs, God. We believe that you can comfort hearts in tragedy. And I pray that you would just touch each one of these situations. We pray for peace, God. God, we thank you for the many wonderful ways that your love is being demonstrated through our lives and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God. We pray that we would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over our lives, making us reservoirs for every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. We pray that we would walk in the ways of righteousness, and that you would just continue to use us to reach people around us, God. Colossians 1, 11 and 12 says that we pray that we would be energized with all of his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Our hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when we think of how God made us worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. God, I pray for this group of people that you would just flow out of us in our daily relationships. That you would use us to touch people's lives when they just need somebody to just be there. We pray for healings in bodies. We pray for healings in minds. And we pray for healings in spirits, God. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you, God. In the name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. It's like there's this cloud in here. The best cloud ever. Best cloud ever. The heaviness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's evident. It's evident. Well, my name is Brenda, and I am delighted to come to you this morning and talk to you about the third word on the cross, the third word of Jesus. In week one, Jean taught us on the first word, which was Father, forgive them, which is a super powerful word. You're awesome. And in week two, last week, Jean talked to us about the word, today you'll be with me in paradise. And today we get to look at the picture of Mary at the cross, where Jesus says, woman, here is your son. And to John, here is your mother. And it's a powerful, powerful word. And I hope this morning, a few things that I hope you hear. So as you listen to my words and as you listen to God's words in your spirit, listen for these things. I hope that you hear today that like Jesus was, we also are spiritual beings on a human journey, not human beings on a spiritual journey. So let's start thinking along those lines. Also, we can learn from the passage that we're going to be in today. We learn from Jesus, from Mary, from John, how to give up, how to show up, and how to stand up. We need to give up things like our ideas and our plans, our attachments to this natural world. And then we have to show up. And show up usually involves sacrifice, maybe giving up our comfort or convenience, and to stand up for truth and love always. And the third thing that I hope you hear today is that you have an assignment. You have a purpose. And that everything you need for this assignment is already in you. It's like the best 007 James Bond movie ever. Everything is, the things that we think are impossible are so very, very possible. Let's pray. God, I just ask right now that you would anoint my lips, that you would speak to each person here what exactly it is that they need to hear from you today. God, we've sung your praises. We have received your blessing on us today. And I just ask now, too, for your favor to just fall on us in a way that's undeniably you. Amen. So the scripture that that we're teaching out of is John chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. And you'll see it in the ESV version behind you on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles or your Bible app, you can follow along on the screen behind me. Scripture says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour on, the disciple, John, took her to his home." He didn't say, okay, I'll go make a mother-in-law suite. I will, you know, go home and get the house ready. I'll make sure, you know, I get all this stuff done. From that hour on, he took that responsibility. So in this passage, Jesus shows us how to give up, how to surrender ourself for the promise of what we're told. He remembers that his assignment was to come to earth as a man, to walk where we walk, so he can experience everything and anything you and I might ever go through. Every emotion, everything that we could maybe say to our earthly parents, you just don't get it. You don't understand. He came to earth, walked on earth as a human. And then he eventually knew that he would be the sacrifice for our sins. So instead of having to now go to sacrifice for our sins, he took that place, and now we have grace instead of the law. Jesus shows us the picture of a spiritual being on a human journey. Now, even in his dying, Jesus gives up. He gives up his role as son. Right? When he says, "Here's your mother." So he's disconnecting from that human bond of mother-son. And guys, remember where he's at when he does this. He's on the cross. He has been beaten. His flesh is in shreds. But even in his darkest hour, he's honoring his mother. He's loving to the very end, even when he's miserable. And if you notice, Jesus is comforting Mary by doing this. He's not asking for comfort. He's not asking for pity. He's giving up, and he's giving up his, like, sonship. He knows that Mary's got a long trip home to no one. And there's some commentary that would kind of scoff at the fact that he used the word woman instead of mother. But again, if you can picture this, all the angry people around, the people that are hurling insults, it's a rough crowd. And perhaps, just perhaps, he's caring for his mother in the way that, you know what, if they know that she's my mother, she might receive some of this wrath and insult. And just, so I believe it was a way that he was caring for her. And I also have to wonder if maybe it was just a way that he didn't raise any more strength to the passion and the emotion that she was feeling in watching him suffer. And if he'd be speaking tenderly to her, that could maybe just raise up more. So even in his darkest hour, he's giving up, he's honoring his mother. and he's actually honoring both Mary and John. He knows that after he leaves, they're both going to be left with kind of this hole of Jesus not being there. So he gives them to each other. And they now have this mutual experience, this suffering that that they'll do in just in losing Jesus. So he gives them to each other, providing that solace that's going to come to them. Now he knows that what he's giving up, this comfort of the human experience of life on earth, life with a mother, he knows that in giving that up, in ultimately giving up his life, it's going to bring freedom. It's going to bring freedom to them. Now remember, here we say freedom is not the absence of all the things that we think are bad, our habits or our life experiences, our circumstances. Freedom is the presence and the power of Jesus in us, enabling us to be who we are because of him. So he knows that in giving up his life, that's going to bring Mary freedom, John, the other Marys that are there, and all of his followers, even the ones that didn't show up, because there were a lot that didn't show up. He had fulfilled his purpose. He had fulfilled his assignment, and now it's time to go. But he's sure to make provision for his mother. It's the beautiful example of the commandment, honor your father and mother. And Jesus shows us that. His mother, who is certainly broken at the sight of seeing her son, I'm imagining she would do anything, that was emphatic, for him to not have to go through the suffering he was going through. But she knows he's special. In Luke 1, 31, 33, we remember how the angel came to her and prophesied Jesus' birth. The angel said, you will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit. And imagine she's also remembering the time when Jesus was young, and after her 40 days of purification, after she had Jesus, they were, according to the law, supposed to take a sacrifice, go to the temple, and dedicate Jesus. So backstory a little bit on this. Simeon is in this story as well, and he's been told that he won't die until he sees the Lord. So fun fact here, he's at the temple the day that Mary and Joseph bring Jesus. So his promise is fulfilled in that moment too. And he sees his Lord. So that promise is fulfilled. And then he goes on, and we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 33, how Simeon blessed them. And then he went on to prophesy over Mary. Listen to what he says. A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being. For your child will be rejected by many in Israel, and the destiny of your child is this. He will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many to come, of many in Israel. So as she's remembering this, I think it's one thing to know something's going to happen, and entirely something else to walk it out. Sometimes we can think, oh, we know hard times are coming, but when you're in the middle of them and they're super hard, it's a different story. But to remember the words of the angel and Simeon just gave her, I believe, power in that moment. Now, we too know how this story ends. We know that love wins, that Jesus wins, that there is triumph over the grave. So my question to you is, if we know that we're also all here on assignment, spiritual beings on a human journey, like Jesus was, why do we attach so much to the physical world, to stuff, to ourself and what we know? if this human experience is a temporary gig, why am I so attached to it? To money, to stuff, to other people, my plans and ideas, that's a big one. Do those attachments to the physical world keep me from my spiritual assignment? What is my focus? What is my goal in each day? I want to encourage you, as Jesus did in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. When asked what it means to follow Jesus, these are his words. If you truly desire to be my disciple, you must disown your life completely, embrace my cross or suffering as your own, and surrender to my ways. For if you choose self-sacrifice, giving up your lives for your glory, you will embark on a discovery of more and more of true life. But if you choose to keep your lives for yourselves, you will lose what you try to keep. Even if you gained all the wealth and power of this world, everything it could offer you, yet you lose your soul in the process, what good is that? So like Jesus showed us, like Jesus taught us, we must give up those things that we're attached to and accept our assignment. Mary also in this passage shows us that, how she gave up. She, as a virgin, conceived a child. And that brought a lot of scorn to her and Joseph. Like, that was a no-no to have a baby out of wedlock. So she gave up herself for the promise of what was going to happen. She nurtured and cared for Jesus, and then she also gave him up. She surrendered that mother-son relationship and accepted Jesus' provision for her in a kind of a substitute son in John. She gave up her motherhood to receive his lordship. In Jesus' death, Mary was led from this natural human relationship with Jesus so that she could be in a spiritual union with Christ. She became a worshiper, a simple believer like you and I. Mary learned that it was better to have Jesus as her Lord than as her son. So we too can learn from this. Those of us that have children, we too must learn how to give up our children so that they can be who they need to be, who they were designed to be, who they were created to be. See, our children come through us, like we carry them, we bear them, like in the physical world. But our children come from God. He taught, he thought them up. He placed them here on earth. It was his idea. But he created them and gave them, assigned them their purpose. So our job as parents is to raise them in the way of Jesus and in the way of love. We train, we encourage, and then we let them go and send them out. It's kind of like learning to ride a bike. Have you ever helped a little kid learn to ride a bike? So when they're like little, they're in these little trikes that are barely off the ground. Then we go to the next size, which is maybe a tricycle, which is a little bit scarier, further off the ground. And then one day, we hit the two-wheeled bike with training wheels. And we run alongside them, right there to catch them if they fall, encouraging them, making sure they know they can do this. And then the day comes when we're like, okay, now we're going to take off the training wheels. And again, we're showing them the way. And like most of us crazy people, parents, run alongside them as far as we can as they're like going. Now we do this, we know that there are going to be spills. We know there's going to be pain. They're going to fall. Most kids don't get it right away. But we trust that it is part of the process. It's being on this human journey, and we're trusting that God is going to guide them in their assignments. Like when the wheels fall off, we know that God's got them. And Mary shows us this. She shows us how to let go. She had to learn that early on. When Jesus was 12, and he's like, I got this. I'm going to go preach. But this is just another level of letting go for her, and it's super agonizing for her. But she believes that he's going to return, like he said. And as we go up a couple of scriptures earlier in Luke chapter 9 to 21, these are Jesus' words. He said, the Son of Man is destined to experience great suffering and face complete rejection by the Jewish leaders and religious hierarchy. He will be killed and raised back to life on the third day. That's a promise. And that is what she's holding on to. So she believes in it. She believes his word. She believes that promise. And she becomes a part, takes her place as part of his church, as a believer. Now, this losing and letting go, can we learn to let go? Can we learn to give up, to surrender our comfort and what we think we know? If we're not human beings on a spiritual journey, but we're spiritual beings on a human journey, then can we celebrate when someone's assignment is done? Like Mary did with Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting she was celebrating in that moment in a rah-rah sort of way, but she didn't fight it. I don't see her fighting. I think she was, again, holding on to that promise. But we think we can't do life without them. It's difficult for sure to let go of someone. But we weren't put on earth to attach to people. We were put on earth to affect people, to encourage them in the way of Jesus, to show them love and forgiveness, grace. And that all, it looks different for all of us. Our assignments are so different. Mary's assignment was to birth and raise Jesus. I wonder this morning if you know what your assignment is. Is your spiritual assignment priority? I'm guessing if you don't know what your assignment is, it may not be. Our assignment at the root is to reflect Jesus in everything we do. And again, that looks different for each of us depending on our role in life and where and what we do. But either our spiritual assignment is priority or our natural, our physical life is. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Do you have the time? Do you take the time to hear others, to see them, and to truly love them? Or maybe we're too busy with the tasks of living on earth. I mean, we've got to work. We got to wash the dishes, clean the house, feed the dog, walk the dog, raise the kids, pay the bills, laundry. All of those things, those are things that we need to do. But are they our sole focus? Are they our primary focus? See, life is full of opportunities for us to take our eyes away from our assignments and away from who we truly are. Even the thief on the cross, as Jean talked last week, tried to distract Jesus from his mission by saying, save yourself, get off of here, save us all. Thank God Jesus didn't give in to that distraction. So how can we stay focused on our mission? How can my main mission be that of love, sharing Jesus, reflecting Jesus in everything I do while I do life on physical earth? Instead of the other way around. Instead of saying, okay, today I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come home and watch the news, have dinner, play a little bit with the kids. And then if I have time left over, I will read my Bible. I'll spend some time with Jesus. Or I'll call that person that's really needing my, you know, some help and some encouragement and some prayer. Or can I do that all day long in all of the people that I'm encountering, not just waiting for spiritual moments like Sunday morning? focus first on the kingdom. Focus first on the kingdom. Matthew 6, 33 says, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. The Passion Translation says, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things, which he was referring to earlier chapters about what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear, said, then all those things are going to be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. So focus first on the kingdom. Seek him first. We seek him for guidance. We seek him for our next steps. And we also have to seek him in those times when things aren't so great and we're angry, we're frustrated, we're hurt. All of those emotions when we find sometimes our life just deals us this nastiness. And at that moment, we have to seek him. We have to seek him and God, and we have to look at our heart. Like, God, where is my heart in this moment? Like, what is happening in here? Spoiler alert, it's almost always self. It's usually ourselves that are in the way. And then we have to take that step of aligning our hearts with him. And we need to love well. We need to forgive. So super important step here. Seek first his kingdom and to also choose love and forgiveness in those moments. Perhaps we have a lot of things to give up. So we're not too busy or not too distracted to be love for the people in our community. What is it that we need to sacrifice? I want to look a little bit at John. John is also obviously here in this picture of the cross. He showed up. Showing up usually involves sacrifice. So must we. We must show up and sacrifice. John, the apostle of love, he stuck around. He stuck around to witness the crucifixion. He didn't say, okay, I need to go keep preaching. I need to go keep healing back here. I need to keep doing all this and don't think I've got time. Or he might have been tempted to think, you know what? I don't know that I could handle watching you suffer, Jesus. I don't think I can be there. He didn't quit. He didn't run away or hide from the pain of what was happening. Like love. Love endures all things, it overcomes all things, and it empowers us in all things. And another beautiful thing about John showing up, John showed up and Jesus used him. Sometimes that's what we have to do, friends. We just have to show up and say, here I am. Instead of crying, God, I don't know how you want to use me. Well, be quiet and listen. Show up. When he prompts you to go somewhere, go. If he prompts you to call somebody, call him, text him, whatever. He'll use you. You just got to show up, even when it's inconvenient. In Jesus' death, John's assignment was to be the substitute. It's like Jesus taps John in, says, okay, you're up. So John is the substitute for Jesus as the substitute, right? Jesus is a substitute for our sins. He died so that we don't have to do all the law now. So he's a substitute. In his death now, John is the sub. And John, like, to be an example, part of that job is to be an example of Jesus. And that's also an assignment for all of us. John, all of us believers need to now walk out those things that Jesus would be doing if he were here on earth. We get to be his substitutes as John was. John is also the substitute for Jesus as Mary's son. John accepted this assignment, and I imagine, I don't know, might have been kind of inconvenient or a burden. But again, another example of honoring his elders. So John is a great example of of showing up. But the best example of showing up, obviously, is Jesus showing us the greatest sacrifice. And friends, when Jesus' love reaches you and I from that place of his sacrifice, it comes with a definite assignment of a sacred mission. And we dare not neglect it. His ultimate sacrifice must empower us. Like Superman and Wonder Woman, Mission Impossible, James Bond 007. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I haven't myself, but if you've heard somebody's dying wish, I've never experienced it, like I said, but I've seen it in movies where, you know, maybe dad is dying and he says to Johnny, "Johnny, now, I'm leaving, but I need you to take care of mom, quit fighting with your brothers, you know, all of these things." And you can bet Johnny's like, "Okay, I will do this for you." That sacrifice, that those words, those dying wishes can really empower us. This is our high calling, to substitute for and to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Substituting includes sacrifice, selfishness. Have I mentioned sacrifice? Yes. It's dealing with injustice. It's seeing beyond the natural and the physical world to the heart. Always loving, always forgiving. We wear our human suits over our spiritual being, and then we just spread Jesus' love everywhere we go. And we're carrying out our assignment in that way, and we're honoring Jesus that way. So now, knowing our assignment, we must stand up. We must be strong. We must be the people who are going to stand up for Jesus, even if the entire world disagrees, even if it's not popular. Always choosing love and forgiveness, protecting the less fortunate, providing for our elders, sacrificing and surrendering our comfort, which could include time, money, whatever those things are that we have attached to. And remember the power that is in you. We don't have to ask for it. The day that you receive Jesus into your heart and you asked him to be Lord of your life, he put it all in there. Here's some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Everything we need is in us. We don't have to ask for it. Back to 007. If you haven't watched a movie, this won't make sense, but Agent 007, James Bond, he gets his assignment. It's always crazy. It's always crazy, right? Impossible. Gets his assignment, and the next scene, you see him in the room, and he's getting all of these gadgets, like pens that can shoot people and phones that you can take apart and put back together as a gun. He has cars and airplanes that are just crazy. Now, in that moment, I don't believe he knows why he needs these things. But as he's going along in his mission, he discovers, oh, yeah, they wouldn't have any idea what I have in my pen here. So just like that, the things that we need are in us. We have access to them. And we can use them freely and often, and we will know what we need when we need it. Do you believe that, friends? Do you know that you have everything you need? Let's get back to Jesus here at the cross. He was the ultimate sacrifice and the substitute. He gave up all. He gave up that comfort, cut himself off from his mother's love, and he did that so that he could be her savior. And he did that so he could be your savior and my savior. He honored his mother by providing for her in that last moment. But ultimately, he gave his life, and it was a very brutal, brutal death. So he gave up everything. And then he showed up. He showed up again. He knew this was his assignment, but in his humanity, I'm guessing he really didn't know how difficult it would be to go through everything he had been going through up till that point. But he still showed up on Friday. And he still walked through, completed the mission that he was on. And he stood up, like Jean taught last week, with the dialogue with the thieves. He carried through with love. He carried through with forgiveness for everyone and everything that was happening there. He didn't retort to the sneers. He was constantly forgiving, and he didn't give in to the temptation to save himself. He stood up for the promise of what he was told. You and I, we can't quite understand such a sacrifice. I know I can't. To sever the bonds of a mother-son relationship, of friendships, of physical comfort. You know, Jesus didn't just have discomfort on the cross. He left heaven to come to earth on this human assignment. So he gave up a lot. He went through a lot so that he could be our Savior. Yours and mine. The people that we don't think deserve it, or the people that have hurt us. He came for everyone, for all of us. We've talked a lot about Mary and John. Last week we talked about the thieves. We could make this to be a lot about John or Mary and the thieves. But we can never forget that Jesus is a central figure of the cross, of the story of the cross. Jesus is the central figure. He endured, what he endured saves us. It gives us hope. It gives us true hope. There is no hope except in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by yielding to Jesus as my Savior and Lord, I find myself in God's plan. I find my assignment. He gave up. He showed up and stood up as an example for us to do the same thing. He's the ultimate example of love in action, giving his life. He's also an example of finishing his assignment, fulfilling his purpose, even when it's hard or when it hurts or when it's unjust. He shows us how to be on earth as a spiritual being. So now I wonder how you can think differently about your purpose, about your assignment. Again, I challenge you, do you know what it is? Have you accepted it? I think it changes in seasons, or there's additions to the assignment, just like John. There at the cross, he accepted another assignment to take care of Mary. Did God gift you with giving, with teaching, encouraging, being creative, artsy, with music? What is it that you love to do and you can do in a way that honors God? Maybe now is a time that you're building into your kids. You're showing them the way of Jesus. You're raising them up and sending them out. Or maybe now, part of your assignment is to love on people in your workplace and the people that you meet there and have encounters with. How will you live it out, this thing of being a spiritual being on a human journey? How will you live that out? How will you stay focused on the spiritual while you work, while you do the tasks of human life, instead of the opposite? making the way of Jesus and reflecting that to those around us, the priority? Can you give up the things that are a distraction? What is consuming your focus? What do you need to be able to give up so that you can show up and stand up? Friends, life on earth is not about working hard, so you can have a lot of nice things and then eventually someday retire, and then you can serve Jesus. That's not the life that we are called to. Your assignment started the day you received Jesus as Lord. So if you've been viewing life as a human being on a spiritual journey, giving God the leftovers, I challenge you today to just review your life, your purpose, your assignment, and what you might need to give up. Look at your life through the lens of Jesus' sacrifice and accept your mission as his representative here on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're here for a reason, and he's in you, and he is with you. He's not asking you to go it alone. Let's pray. God, I'm so grateful for what you did on the cross and the freedom and the life that that brings us. God, it's sobering to think of everything you went through. And it's just, again, a good reminder this morning to think about what my days on earth are here for. I'm grateful for Mary and John and Jesus and the example that they are on the cross, or at the cross, Jesus on the cross. God, I pray that you would just renew all of us. Open our eyes to the people around us and the places that we can be representatives for you. Help us to look past the pain, the injustice, and to, as you did, just continue to choose love and forgiveness. Thank you for showing us a great example of how we can honor each other. God, I pray for every person in this place right now, every person that's listening online. I just pray that you would reveal to them the truth about who they are and the purposes you created them for. And show them that they can access that boldness you've placed in them, that courage, that strength, that patience, that kindness, and that you are ready to just refill it every time they use it. God, I'm grateful that you sacrificed your life to be our lifeline, our connection to the Father, that we now have grace instead of the law. Thank you for who you are and everything you've done and what you will do. Pray this all in your name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing another song together, but I want to invite the prayer team down. And if anybody needs prayer for anything at all, but also just specifically, if if you find yourself in this place of needing some help with knowing your assignment, knowing your purpose, we'd love to pray with you.
Yeah, I think the Lord wants to give some people their assignments this morning.
Okay.
And so the prayer team's going to be up here. I really want to encourage you, if you feel like you don't know what your calling is or your assignment here on earth is, I believe he wants to give it to you this morning.
Yes, that's awesome.
God, at the age of 13, gave me my assignment. He looked at me and he said, "You're a worship leader." I didn't know how to sing. I didn't know how to play guitar. I didn't know the first thing about what it meant to be a worship leader. But he looked at me and he called me by name and he said, "You're a worship leader." And so I believe in this room, there's some people that really need to, that God wants to give you their assignment, your assignment this morning. And
a
so
specific word.
Yeah, specific yeah. word. Yeah. Yep. And yep. so I would encourage you during this next few minutes as we sing, mm-hmm. Come up front and let the prayer team pray over you, speak life over you, and let's get some assignments this morning.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.